Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome, everyone, to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Terrifier 3. It's written and directed by Damien Leone, starring Lauren Rivera as Sienna, David Howard Thornton as Art the Clown, Antonella Rose as Gabby, Elliot Fullman as Jonathan, and Samantha Scafidi as Victoria Hayes. The plot of this movie is Art the Clown is set to unleash chaos on the unsuspecting residents of Miles County as they peacefully drift off to sleep on Christmas Eve. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Terrifier 3?
Steve, I want to start off by saying I absolutely love this movie, but it was my least favorite of the three films so far.
Okay.
I would rate them in the order that they were released, actually. 1, 2, and 3 in that order. Seems like the plot in this film was completely lost. And it was more just about the violence and the gore, which is not a complaint at all because I still loved it. But yeah, not my favorite in the franchise so far.
So I can understand that because it did get a bit bonkers. Well, actually, it was really bonkers throughout the whole movie because now we're in supernatural territory with Art the Clown. So obviously Terrifier 1 just seemed more like Art the Clown was this killer that was going around killing people. Nothing supernatural about him. And then we started touching base on it a little bit in Terrifier 2, where you had the little girl with him. And I was thinking maybe that was like his subconscious or he's seeing shit or whatever. And it's just his way of coping through going through all this lunacy. But then the third one, we jumped the shark, which it's fine. I love my movies. Absolutely absurd. Don't get me wrong. But I see your point.
Yeah, I don't quite understand what the plot was, other than like obviously Sienna getting out of the mental institution because she suffered all kinds of shit in the second movie. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, and her just kind of trying to survive in this world where she was basically tortured, watched her mother get killed.
Right.
So was that the plot of the whole movie? Because like, I don't know, man. I was a little confused.
Actually, you know what confused me at the beginning was when they show, I think it's like Christmas Eve or a few days before Christmas, Art the Clown's in the living room, dressed up as Santa, of course, and then just raises all sorts of hell on the family. And the first kill, dead kid number one.
Oh my God. We had so many dead kids in this movie.
There was a whole slew of them.
I was thinking that it's been a while since we've watched a movie with a dead kid after going on what seemed like fucking 10 movies in a row where there were just dead kids.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. And yeah, this movie made up for it.
Yeah, it definitely fucking made up for it. That's for sure.
Now I understand why people were a little salty because that initial trailer that we got was, you knew the kid was going to die.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And then yeah, this one, the first person that dies is like a 7-year-old.
Yep. Oh, he was a little asshole to his sister anyway.
He was. Fuck him. He deserved it.
Fuck him. Yeah, fuck him.
Fuck them kids, like Michael Jordan said.
Oh, Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. So, wow. Got it. So, I got a little confused at the beginning. Like, right off the bat, I was a little confused on timeline-wise. Because Art's in the house. It's like this random family. He's doing his thing. And then it was like 5 years prior.
Yeah, dude, I had this conversation with my brother on the way home. I was like, what the fuck? Because you get that scene later on with them in the attic.
Yep.
I was like, what happened? Like, how long were they up there? Because you had all those spider webs and stuff that
right.
were on our and stuff. So there was a lot of time jumping in the beginning of this movie.
Yeah, so I don't know if maybe he just wanted to get the Christmas kills in first and then go back into like, so I think it's like, yes, they had the Christmas scene, Art's doing his thing, and then they go back 5 years, and then yes, and he shows them going to sleep, and then it's like present day, right? So that's like how it works. Now, what confused me, and I'm still kind of confused by it, is basically they kind of gave it away that Art the Clown survives at the end. Because if he's going, like, he's making the kill, he's going back in time 5 years. I'm just saying going back in time. We're going back in time 5 years. And then we're going back to present day. So that kill happens 5 years after present day. Meaning he's alive at the end. That's established right off the bat.
Yeah.
Which it's fine because obviously, like, literally within the first 15 minutes, we've set up Terrifier 4. If you want to think of it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever. The violence in this movie was fantastic.
Oh, my God. So you hear those stories about how Damien was filming this and almost puked during one of the scenes?
Yeah.
Which one do you think it was?
Oh, I know for fucking fact which one it was.
Was it the chainsaw
one?
It was
the shower scene.
The shower, yeah.
So gross.
So I was talking to Casey about this on the way home. I'm like, I was watching Steve jump up out of his seat because there were a lot of broken bones in this one. And there was that.
Yep.
The shower scene. All the things you hate.
Oh, yeah. All the things. Just right up the middle. That's like credit card, this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. So we were told beforehand that this was going to be this movie's bedroom scene or the first movie's the hacksaw scene.
Yeah.
I don't think this shower scene was worse than either one of those.
I don't think so either. Well, I mean, the first one was pretty bad. Obviously, Catherine Corcoran hanging upside down. That whole lunacy happened. That's obviously awful because he's using a hacksaw.
Mm-hmm.
This one, you just see like the chainsaw going and the guy's balls flapping around all over the place.
I love how he casually flipped him over too after inserting a chainsaw in his asshole.
Yeah. So, Jesus.
He just like uses his foot and flips his body over and then goes to town again. And then you see cock and balls flopping around like they're in the wind.
Yeah. So insane. So yeah, that's like the scene for this movie, I guess. So I think we got so desensitized from the scene in Terrifier 2 that we saw this and we're like, ouch, but it's not salt in the fucking wound and bleach being poured on someone. You know, it's not that.
So Damien Leone is like set this precedent for his films now where there's always going to be that one kill that he's trying to top from, you know, the prior movie. And I was reading an interview, actually watching an interview with him the other day, and he said that he's already like been writing down ideas for Terrifier 4. He goes, I have something in mind already that's going to like fuck people up for 4.
Oh God.
Because because they did a lot of press in like Europe and stuff for this movie. And he's like on the plane rides, I was just in my notepad. I was just writing shit down of stuff I wanted to do for the next movie.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Hey, multitask.
Yeah. Just like, how can I kill people in the next movie in a notepad?
Exactly. You got 5-hour flights happening. You might as well fucking dick around in Notepad and throw some kills down. Fuck it. Why not?
Yep.
So I think the whole idea is that the kill needs to be like this really long scene.
Yep. Be drawn out.
Be drawn out. And I think that's what this scene was. It was the drawn out scene, the drawn out kill. So the Terrified 2, the drawn out kill, obviously the bedroom scene. The drawn out kill for the first one is, you know, the girl hanging upside down, half naked, cut in half with a hacksaw. So I think those are the three scenes that people will remember from these movies more than others.
Yeah, but because those are basically what people talk about even now when you bring any of them up.
Exactly. And that we're doing it right now.
Yep.
And that's the whole idea. It's funny. I was hanging out with Brian Sarah over the weekend. And they finally saw Terrifier 1. And I'm like, no shit. Good for you. And they liked it. They thought it was fun. So they decided to watch Terrifier 2 the next night. I'm like, oh, you're in for a fucking treat, aren't you? So they got to experience it for the first time. If only I could experience that movie for the first time again. They're lucky. They got to experience that. And immediately, what do you think they talk about?
The fucking bedroom scene. The bedroom scene, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sarah said it got to a point where it's so violent that it was actually funny.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the whole idea. it's supposed to be like, I don't know, so insane that it's almost like laughable.
So and I was laughing in the beginning of Terrifier 3 during that whole scene with Art going through the house.
Yeah, me too. I don't know if you heard me audibly laugh my ass off.
I think I did, actually. I was wondering where it came from.
Yeah, that was me. That was me. Like, as soon as he went up the stairs and the little kid's talking shit about his sister, and then, you know, all you hear is the squelching sound.
Yeah. He walked upstairs and the door was cracked to the kid's bedroom. He opens a door. I don't remember if he closed it or not, but then you start hearing just the, like, the slashing and the hacking.
Yeah, the...
Yeah.
That's all you hear is that squishing
sound. So the
sound
design was fucking insane. It's mm-hmm. so good.
Yeah, it really was.
Because you can portray, like, your 7-year-old kid getting hacked up just by sounds.
And we didn't even need to see it. We just knew.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, eventually we saw the aftermath, and it just looked like a fucking Tootsie Roll, just covered in blood.
Fair, yep.
I mean, it was just this hunk of fucking meat. That's all it was.
Hunk of kid meat.
Hunk of kid meat. That's what it was. It was fucking gross. Dude, that theater, it was clearly all maniacs in that theater because we're all just like laughing.
Everyone, you could hear laughing throughout the whole theater.
Yeah, it was pretty packed. There was a lot of people in there.
Yeah,
and they had the big screen.
Yeah, we said that like when we like right before the movie started that we were both surprised at how many people were there. But that's what happens. Like, I don't think it was showing pretty much anywhere near us other than where we went.
Well, I think that's going to change real quick.
Yeah, with what it did in the box office. Yeah.
18 million, and I think it was like 1,200 theaters, like, in the U.S.
Yeah, and it had a $2 million budget.
Already made its money back, and then some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's like as soon as you hit a certain percentile, or like, I think it's like maybe 50% more than what you spent, then you're looking at, like, you know, success. So it's obviously a success at this point, so it did really well, really fucking well. So I think this is going to be much bigger. I think it's going to be put in even more theaters. However, I'm wondering a few things because this movie is clearly not rated. It's independent. And I don't know if it has that kind of power behind it to get into theaters. But I think as long as theaters see that people are coming out and seeing this movie, then they have to force their hand and get them in even more showings.
Yeah. And if there were people who didn't know what Terrifier was before, but they certainly know now.
Yeah.
This came out a week after Joker 2 did. And granted, that movie is apparently shit. I haven't seen it yet, but I still can't wait to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
But it did shit, you know, it made shitty money its first week, but I guess it dropped like, I want to say like 80 something percent in its second weekend because of Terrifier.
Yeesh. Yeesh.
Yeah.
And Terrifier was only in 1,000 screens or something like that, 1,200 screens. Joker was like a worldwide release, major release. And I think it was 86%. Could you imagine taking that much of a dive the next week after?
A big Hollywood movie gets crushed. And the best part of the whole thing is Damien Leone told Hollywood to go fuck itself when they tried to give him the funding for this movie. And he said, don't want it. I don't want to tone it down. I was watching an interview with David and he said that Hollywood asked them or told them basically that whole first 10 minutes of the movie wouldn't have existed if they had Hollywood money for this.
Yeah, I could agree. It's so over the top. Especially like the mother who got it last, just axe to the back, axe to the head, arm cut off, you know, Art flopping the arm around, all that stuff. None of that would have passed the slightest bit. It would have gone straight to rated X.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or at least NC-17. I don't know if they do rated X anymore. I think that's only for like porn, but it used to be a thing back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It dawned on me earlier that there were movies that were rated X, and it was like movies like Midnight Cowboy, and I think Easy Rider was another one. I might be mistaken, but I know Midnight Cowboy was rated X, and it won a fucking Oscar.
What was Blazing Saddles when it came out? Was it just a regular R?
I think that was a regular R, but man, that one will not fly these days at all.
Right?
Yeah. So I think this one is definitely obviously not rated, but if they did go the Hollywood route and they got that massive funding, it would be NC-17 and no one would touch it with a fucking 10-foot pole because they don't want to release NC-17 movies. They want to release R or below, and Damien's not going to fucking have it. He wants like as much violence as possible.
Yeah, because he knows that like what horror fans want. That whole team involved with this movie is just phenomenal. You know, the producers, the directors, the actors and actresses in it, just giving horror fans what we haven't had in so long.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably ever, and honestly, because I can't remember any film that I've ever seen that has this much over the top gore and violence in every single one. And that's what they strive to do in every single movie, is violence and gore.
Yeah, they got their niche, and, you know, they got their audience. They just cater to that, and they just keep coming in. They keep getting people to come in because they hear, oh, I heard about this Terrifier movie. I heard it's freaking absurd and super violent. And then their friends bring them in to see it and then see if they can make it through the movie. Dude, they were releasing barf bags in the UK. I don't know if you saw that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did it for the last two as well in Europe, I believe.
That's fucking awesome. That would be an awesome little movie memorabilia to have.
Just a puke bag?
Just a puke bag.
I wish I took a picture of that sign they had at the theater we went to about all the excessive gore that you went and read.
Oh, shit. Did I take? No, you took a photo.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
I thought one of us did. Hold on. Let me see.
Because you and other Steve went to go and look at it, I believe.
Yeah, we were just looking, but shit, you're right. I don't think I took a photo. I could have swore I did. But yeah, it was just kind of a cautionary thing, like, hey, this is super violent, just a heads up, you know, that type thing. But yeah, just a disclaimer at the beginning, heads up, super violent, all that. I wonder if they're like checking IDs and shit for some people.
I know that, was it France? It's anyone under, I think it's under 18 can't watch it legally. They banned it.
Doesn't make any sense. They can drink at 16.
But you can't watch someone get ripped apart at 18 unless you're, you know, 18 or older.
Yeah, not a lick of that makes any sense at all. But whatever. Hey, I remember back in the day, they weren't letting people in to see House of 1,000 Corpses.
Yeah, despite its gory reputation, 11 people reportedly walked out of a preview screening, prompting France to ban anyone under 18 from seeing the movie.
Wow. I think, honestly, those people just didn't like it.
All this shit I've been reading about people walking out, like, I feel like it's almost like marketing, because anyone that's seeing Terrifier 3 has probably seen Terrifier 1 and probably seen Terrifier 2.
Exactly. So we know what we're getting into.
So I don't know. I don't know if it's marketing. I hope it's not marketing, because that's fucking hilarious if people are actually puking and walking out of this shit.
It's pretty fucking gross. If you don't have a strong stomach for this shit, like we do, if you don't have a strong stomach for it, you're going to watch this and go, oh, that's rough.
Yeah. But it's doing its job at the same time, because, like, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to make people sick and nauseous. Like, even interviews with the cast, that they were fucking sick filming this movie.
Yeah. And David talks about the reason why he gets sick with some of these scenes is because it's like a texture thing, and like the smell, and what he's doing is like a lot of it's like fresh meat, you know, just like hamburger or just ground beef. And he's just like has to touch it and shit, and just it makes him sick.
But they actually use ground beef and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they mentioned.
Huh.
So he's like, argh. It was like, it's gross. It's just hanging out there for a while. It smells awful. Hey, got to commit to the bit though. And he does. He's great in this.
He is unreal, dude. His comedic timing. And did you see that clip of him going through Spirit of Halloween recently as Art?
So fucking good.
Just like going up to someone and like scaring them, and then he points and laughs in their face.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it gets me every time.
Yeah, so that's not David Howard Thornton at all. That's Art the Clown.
Yeah, and he's got that gimmick down like another personality, you know?
Absolutely.
So I was reading that his favorite part to film in Terrifier 3 was that part in the bar where they went and met Santa for the first time.
Oh, that's a good scene.
So when speaking of his mannerisms and whatnot, when he walks by that window the first time, and he does that double take, he's like, oh my God, Santa, you know? And then he runs in and he points at a picture of Santa, and he's so excited that he thinks the real Santa's in front of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody could do that as well as David can.
No, he was great. And he looked so damn excited. Actually, I think a bunch of people laughed in the theater, because I know I was laughing at his reaction.
It was like a fucking laugh track in that theater.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great. So yeah, he sees Santa and he steamrolls through these like two drunk girls who were taking photos with Santa, like sitting on his lap, which actually kind of reminded me of Terrifier 1, where Catherine Corcoran was sitting on Art's lap. So I don't know if that was a little callback.
Oh, in the pizza shop?
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. At the pizza shop. So he comes in, these two girls are just trying to like leave the place, and he just steamrolls them. They both fall down, and he's like super excited. Obviously, he goes to Santa. At some point, ends up pissing on him, and
We forgot to mention that Art made a weapon for this scene, too.
Oh, yes, he did. And this was in the 5-year period, I think, that no, wait, it was like after he woke up from his 5-year fucking sleep, he started creating this. It's like a fire extinguisher, except it's liquid nitrogen. So he's just spraying people with liquid nitrogen. It's so fucking absurd.
So I was using this. I was listening to another interview with Damian Leone about this, and he said that when he was thinking of this scene, he really wanted to have like a frost gun, is what he called it. Mm-hmm. It was like something so over the top, like a frost gun. Yeah, and then he liquid nitrogen gun, basically. But this scene was fucking so disgusting.
It was awful. It was so bad.
Because he has Santa Claus strapped to a chair.
Yep.
And he freezes his legs and his hands, and then he starts smashing his legs and his hands with a hammer.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, wait, I watch your beard.
Yeah, and he just started, he froze his face and started smashing it. And yes, and then he pulls the beard off him and uses it.
So I was like, we've seen all these posters and trailers and stuff. Like, how does Art get the beard on his chin? Because it's bloody.
Right.
So, yeah, as soon as we saw how he got it, I was like, God damn, no way.
Yep, that's, we found out pretty quick how it happened. It was so violent, man, because, you gotta wonder if he actually ended up dying or if, he just got maimed so bad that...
He had to have, if he didn't die right then, he had to have bled out.
He would have had to bleed out, at least. For his sake, hopefully bled out. But there was someone pretty famous in there, Clint Howard.
Yeah, it was cool to see him.
Yeah. It was a pivotal scene, but he had such a small role that he was just a patron at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets killed, obviously. Bartender gets killed. They're both, annihilated by Art the Clown. And that's when he starts to tie Santa up and basically do whatever the fuck he wants with him. And dude, it's super violent. He obviously, right after that, throws on the Santa outfit.
I was a little disappointed, though, in this, though, because we both have that poster, the Terrifier 3 poster, the original one where he's wearing Santa's mask around his neck.
Yeah.
That didn't happen in the movie.
No, he ended up just using the beard.
I thought for sure we were going to get a chainsaw scene or something, him cutting.
Wait, a chainsaw Santa scene? We did.
No,
a chainsaw scene to Santa.
Yeah, like cutting Santa's face off and wearing it around his neck.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be super fucking gnarly. But hey, it's okay. We got plenty of fucking violence in this movie.
Yeah.
So there's one thing I found interesting about this movie is that Elliot Fulman didn't really have that big of a role in this. He was pretty fucking off camera for most of this movie.
So I don't know if you heard me cheer or not when we saw the skull.
Yeah, I think I did.
But I also don't think he's dead. I think that they're just going to retcon this for Terrifier 4 and we're going to get a more Jonathan backstory. But, that wasn't Jonathan's skull that Victoria told him that they had.
No, I think what's going to happen is because Sienna Shaw, apparently she has to be some sort of ancient being to be able to see this imagery of the sword being made by a blacksmith, like a demon blacksmith type deal, and have this power basically with this sword against Art the Clown. It's the only thing that can really combat him. So I bet Jonathan's head, it's real. I bet it's real, but I bet his skull talks to her.
Ugh. Okay.
He becomes her whisperer or fucking something, right? You see it all the time. Like in God of War, where you have the head of
Mimir or whatever.
Something like that. Just hanging out by Kratos' side, talking shit, all that. Maybe like that. She just walks around with his skull and he's just talking, Sienna, watch out. And he's just watches her back. I don't know. It'll turn into maybe a God of War spinoff.
I don't know, man. I think they're going to have to definitely address it more in the fourth movie because apparently Sienna can heal herself now like Wolverine.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck? I wrote that down to make sure I was going to talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up because that was so fucking confusing. Also, who in their right mind thinks I'm going to use a sword as a way for fucking someone to grab onto it?
I know when she Gabby is falling in the hole in the ground and Sienna is looking for something like a rope. No, I'm just going to grab a sword and give her the handle and I'm going to grab the blade.
Yeah.
I was so that actually made me cringe a little bit because I could not imagine grabbing the blade of a knife intentionally.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then just let it slide. Oh my God.
And you could afterwards when they do the camera zoom in on the palms of her hands, you could see the fucking now I know Hamburg dripping out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gnarly. Yeah, that whole scene was insane. Sienna's such a badass. Let's talk about that for a minute.
She is.
As soon as her face gets like bloody and dirty, the contrast with her eyes, the craziness of her eyes and like the mess of her face, she just goes into like overdrive, man.
Yeah, dude, I can't like stress enough how much of a superstar Lauren Rivera is. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to chat with her a few weeks ago at Silver Scream, and the way she is in person and the way she is, I know it's a character in this movie, but you would never expect her to be that much of a badass.
No, not at all. But
because she's super sweet and really, really nice in person. And like she talks to everybody and has like a full on conversation with you. But in this movie, she's like a supernatural, like badass.
Yeah. She's that angel character or whatever. Like it's not a guardian angel, but like an angel warrior type thing. Mm-hmm. Right. That's her thing. And her dad created this character. But I think maybe it goes deeper than that. I bet her dad is drawing this from memory or from some sort of folklore in the family. And she's just one of the bearers of the sword, that type thing.
Yeah. And I thought we were going to get more of that because we got a flashback of Sienna talking to her father when he was drawing.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, we didn't end up getting it. So again, I'm sure this is going to come in 4 or 5 because Damien has now said he wants to do this in 5 movies. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. It'd be nice to get a little bit of more of the folklore behind it. You know what I find interesting too is the role of Victoria Hayes playing in this.
Oh yeah, she's like the puppet master essentially.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was so unique, and it's almost like like the little girl from Terrifier 2. She's like the puppet master. So it's like they're like these demons. We've established, by the way, that Art the Clown is a demon, and that's what we figured out in this movie. Because I don't know if we knew that per se in like the last movie,
no,
or even the first movie.
It was definitely implied.
Yeah, but now it's like legit. Okay, he's a demon. And we got to realize that Victoria is kind of like the whole puppet master. He's basically doing her bidding. She does the talking, all this stuff. She's like the face, no pun intended. And he does the fucking work. So she ends up getting her head cut off and spewing acid blood. And this is when we see Gabby like hanging on, and we get to the part where she's trying to save her with a fucking sword. Doesn't work. And Gabby takes that sword and falls into the fucking abyss. So I think we're going to see something about Gabby coming back, and she's going to be part of this like whole warrior deal because she's came back from hell, right? Or something like that. She fought a bunch of demons to come back. That's maybe my thinking, because I don't think she's dead. I think she's just trapped in between worlds.
Oh, yeah. And Sienna's going to have to go down there and get her. And I'm going to say it now, but I think Pale Girl's going to show up in the 4th movie.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet. I think maybe we'll see some sort of demon version of her. I did think it was a little weird for her to not be in it, because at the end of Terrifier 2, you saw her walking off with the head.
Mm-hmm.
And then we obviously saw Art's head being born again by Victoria. And I think Victoria, she didn't want to do any of this, because there was one scene where she actually killed that orderly in the like mental institution. And she said, I didn't want to do this. And then obviously I think it's like a demon takes over her. And that's when she grabbed Chris Jericho by the throat. And we see Art the Clown, headless Art the Clown, hanging out in the background.
That was pretty cool too, how they brought in Chris Jericho for probably 5 minutes of this movie, and he got 5 minutes in Terrifier 2.
Yeah, I think it's probably just in his contract. I only got 5 minutes. We got to shoot this now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that whole scene was fucking ridiculous, man, with Chris Jericho. And it's fine. Like you said, it's like not even 5 minutes. It's probably like the length of a fucking like song. 3 minutes, maybe 4 minutes. I don't know. It's short. But we see him get his face ripped off.
The length of a Fozzy song?
Exactly. The length of a Fozzy song. So he's probably like, I've got about this much time. I've got like Judas in me. I get Judas in my mind for a time here. So his face, man, both of them just tearing at his face and just ripping apart. And it was fun. I find it funny still that he gets like top billing, even though he's just gets killed every single time.
Yeah, he gets killed pretty much in everything he does ever does a cameo in. But
yeah,
we got to talk about don't want to spoil too much of the movie, but we got to briefly talk about the final fight scene between Sienna and Art.
So fucking good.
That was incredible. between the two of them. Like, why is, like, I know why, but Sienna is always getting her ass kicked by him. But Sienna gets that crown of thorns.
Oh,
that was another one that made me cringe.
Yeah, she's fighting him with a crown of thorns with this sword, and Art's got the chainsaw. She's got the sword. It's so gnarly. So I'm a big fan of big battles in movies, right? Like, obviously, I consider that a big battle. Mm-hmm. Hell, RoboCop versus RoboCop 2, another big battle. Fucking love it. This is going to be one of those legendary fights, and it's so fucking intense, man.
It's so intense, and I also laughed a ton here because when Art kept coming up from behind Sienna and smacking her in the back of the head,
mm-hmm. Oh,
the noise
so
that
good.
It made...
Yet the whack.
And he cracked her like four times.
Yeah.
Like Sienna's constantly getting beat up in these movies.
Yeah. So I was wondering how she was going to fucking get out of that chair, man. Because the mother, not her mother, but Gabby's mother across the way from her. Oh, brutal. That is a brutal death. I don't want to give it away, though. But I'm like, it's such a hopeless. Yeah, go see it. It's such a hopeless situation. And I'm blown away that Sienna's able to get out of there and just fucking raise hell and fight Art the Clown and make the decision of kill Art the Clown or save Gabby.
Speaking of Gabby, man, I gotta give props to her. Antonella Rose, she's gonna be special too
mm-hmm.
when yes. her career progresses because she hasn't been on a lot according to her IMDb.
Yeah, I think she did great. She's got a lot of potential, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, she'll be back in Terrifier 4. She'll probably be dressed up as the Angel Warrior, right? Angel Warrior.
Oh, she'll have the armor?
Yeah, I think she'll have the armor and everything. And it was just her way of getting it. Like, she needed to get the sword through these means. Maybe it's all, like, in, like, fate, right? It's, like, her fate to bear this sword and this armor. I don't know. I can only imagine where it's going to go from here because we're obviously going down the supernatural rabbit hole. And I think we're going to hear more about that in 4. And if we don't, you better hurry up because you got one more movie to explain it in the 5th one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if he goes that long, but I mean, he could drag this out as long as he wants to. But as he said, he doesn't want to overstay his welcome. So, and I don't think he ever would. But
yeah.
People were clamoring for more Terrifier. Like, they want more tomorrow.
Of course. So. And I think that's fair. A lot of sitcoms go off the air because they just don't want to overstay a welcome. Like Seinfeld, right? They didn't want to overstay their welcome. They got offered a shit ton of money. And they were like, nope, we're not going to do it because we don't want to turn it to that show that it's like you're on. And then like the comedy just kind of starts declining.
So that's why I like Danny McBride. So
yeah, okay.
So two examples, Eastbound and Down. Did you watch that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so Eastbound and Down, which he said he only ever wanted to do, like, I think he said one or two seasons of it. Mm-hmm. But HBO was like, no, you're like one of the biggest, the highest rated shows ever. Here's a bunch of money to make more. So exactly. It ended up going 4 seasons. And then you had that other one, Vice Principals. Did you watch that one?
I didn't watch the Vice Principals one,
okay.
No.
Okay, so you should. Vice Principals is also very good. But same idea here. HBO was like, hey, you're a fucking genius. Can you make this show or make a new show for us? So he did Vice Principals. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, that only went 2 seasons.
Okay.
And he's like, I'm not doing any more.
Good for him.
So yeah, Damien Leone's pretty much got the same mentality, it seems, where he doesn't want to overstay his welcome.
And I think it's a good mentality to have. Just put out your bangers, get people to fall in love with it and go, you know what? We're at the tippity top right now. Other than that, it's fucking downhill. Let's just stop. Let's stop while we're fucking way ahead. And I'm more than fine with that, with some shows just stopping. I feel like Breaking Bad was kind of like that. Like, it just was constantly increasing, and then they just stopped. They had to stop because it was just, like, the logical thing to do.
Yeah, and, like, something like that, as good as it was, you can only come up with new content in that universe so many times before it gets stale. So, like, even though Breaking Bad was huge and made a ton of money for, you know, Bryan Cranston, and now I can't AMC. Remember the guy who made it.
Oh, AMC, I know that.
No,
for sure.
Vince Gilligan.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, they were like, nah, the story's done. We're done with this. They could keep cashing checks.
They could. I mean, people still stream that shit. They're going to live off those royalties for fucking ever.
Mm-hmm.
So good for them. Before we go into the reviews, I want to talk about this one thing that you showed me.
Yeah.
Picketing outside the theater.
Yeah, would that say, like, keep Christ in Christmas, boycott,
yeah.
Don't see Terrifier 3?
But the funny thing is, they're promoting the movie and just bringing more exposure to it, just legitimizing it even more. And my question to you was, do you think one of them actually went and saw it?
Probably not, because it's probably a bunch of like religious people who saw the poster or maybe even the trailer.
Yeah.
Or they have like a niece or a nephew or someone in their family that maybe saw it.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, like, this was brutal, ruined Christmas for me kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm just guessing. Maybe one of them did go see it. Maybe that photo was photoshopped. I don't know. But I could certainly see people boycotting the shit out of this.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think a lot of people could boycott the shit out of this movie for sure. I know I'm not one of them, but I could see plenty of churches wanting to just say, nope, we don't want this in movie theaters, all this, whatever. You know, let people enjoy it. If they're going to hell, they're going to hell. If they don't want to see it, they don't have to see it. But don't force people to not see it. Who cares? Whatever. With that said, Corey, what do you give Terrifier 3?
So this is going to get another 5 out of 5 for me. It had everything I wanted and more. So much over-the-top violence set in my personal favorite holiday of the year. I love Christmas. Well worth the wait. Damien Leone is absolute genius. And if he really does take this to 5 movies, he'll be one of the greatest horror directors of all time.
I agree. Definitely at least best indie directors of all time. That's for damn sure. And it blows my mind.
He's going to be the not even indie, dude. He's going to be up there with freaking John Carpenter.
No shit.
And Wes Craven.
You know, you might be right. I mean, to have the kind of success that he's having with Terrifier and for the fucking shoestring budget that he has, I mean, $2 million is nothing for our fucking budget. And especially with Terrifier 2, what was it, $150,000? Maybe a little more?
I don't know, but it's crowdfunded.
Yeah, it's crowdfunded.
It's insane. To go from, you know, the first movie out of Damien's pocket, the second movie crowdfunded, and the third movie out of Damien's pocket.
Was it out of his pocket?
I don't know if it was, but it wasn't Hollywood money and it didn't get crowdfunded. So wherever it came from, you know, I don't know.
I feel like Screambox and Bloody Disgusting may have had, been backers.
That's right. He said, what is it? Cineverse.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense because they got like the, you know, the logos at the top. And I don't know if you heard me say it when I saw the screen box logo. I was like, hey, those are our boys. I thought that was really cool seeing that up there.
Yeah, it's cool because we talk to them pretty frequently. So,
yeah, good for them. That was awesome. So I'm going to go into my review, by the way. And
yeah, go ahead.
Dude, I pulled the same shit as I usually do. You know this. With the fucking notes.
I woke up to a text from you Friday morning. I forget what it said, but
it just said, you're welcome.
And I knew right away. I was like, oh, I know what he did. And sure enough, I checked our file and there's fucking 17 paragraphs and notes.
Yep.
There's more notes than if we just watch a regular movie together one week and take notes at the same time.
Yeah.
Somehow you write more notes when you're doing it for the both of us.
I know, because I have to make sure I get everything in there, because obviously I can always go through and be like, I'm not talking about that. But I basically replayed this movie in my head and take notes. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. And dude, this was at 1:45 in the morning.
I don't know how you did that, dude. I got home at like, 12:45, and I was like, I gotta go to sleep. I'm fucking beat.
Yeah, I was, as soon as I opened the door, I just did like a couple of quick things, like took my contacts out, took my meds, fucking sat down, and I just started fucking typing away, man. I was just trying to get whatever I could done, because when I walked into the door, I'm like, I wonder if I could go to bed and I could just take the notes tomorrow. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to take that chance. I don't want to take that chance.
Yeah, it worked out.
It did work out. We had everything that we wanted to talk about, and without giving up too much. Right. I mean, there's some things here and there, but we have our disclaimer at the beginning anyways. So, obviously, I committed to the bit per usual, but holy shit, dude. I had to work a 12-hour shift the next day. So it's like,
damn.
I was like running on very little sleep working 12 hours. But hey, you got to do it for the art. You got to suffer for your art, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
As Damien would say.
So
I got that frame finally.
Good for you, man. Mine is not framed. It's just still in the baseball card type plastic. So, and hey, it works for me. It's fine. I like it. It's going to stay that way, I think, for a while. Okay, so I'm going to go into my review here. So I'm going to go with the 5 out of 5 on this as well. It was so depraved. There weren't any scenes similar to the bedroom scene or the scene of, you know, topless girl hanging upside down. But I think the violence throughout the whole movie was kind of the equivalent. Like, if you compare, like, the amount of violence through the span of the movie versus, like, the amount of violence that appeared in those two movies, I think it probably evens out. And I think maybe the shower scene, that's kind of like you know, the bedroom scene and the hacksaw scene, that type deal. So I think we hit all the bullet points here regarding violence. Definitely going to be a hard one to top, and it seems like he's topping each one. So good for him. I'm looking forward to Terrifier 4. And also, you and I got a Terrifier cup, and I'm pretty fucking happy we got that.
Dude, I got that for you because you took your time getting there.
I did.
But I'm surprised because there was literally a line through the theater of people trying to get those cups.
No shit. Fucking scalpers. Yeah.
I was so shocked because she went and got another sleeve of them. And ooh. I was like, oh, fuck. I got to get Steve one. These might be gone by the time he gets here.
You're fucking right, dude. Yeah, so, we lucked out, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hanging out by my whole horror memorabilia stuff. It's cool looking. It's a nice little addition. Used it? I used it during the movie.
Oh, yeah. I haven't not used mine yet.
Yeah, man. I had Coke out of it. And then I went home. That's the first thing I did, is I made sure to wash it.
Yep.
I didn't want to get it sticky like inside and all that shit. So I made sure I fucking washed it. And then I sat down and did my oaths. That's like one of the things I did when I got
okay.
there. So it was a pretty busy early morning that day. But easy 5 out of 5 for the both of us. Terrifier 3 is in theaters right now. I highly recommend you go check it out on the big screen. It's such a fucking good time. And it's going to be a Christmas classic.
Mm-hmm. This is a Christmas movie. Die Hard is not.
Bullshit.
End it right there. End it.
All right, everyone. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out beardoctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.